Don't be shy. Step a little closer. I've been waiting to welcome you to Fright Radio. The name is Reaper. Radio Reaper. I have much to tell. It's enough to make someone scream. What a coincidence. Let's step inside, shall we? Welcome to Fright Radio, your home for all things Halloween and haunt-related. I'm your Radio Reaper, and we have a jam-packed show for you this month. Before we get to the segments for this month, let me run down some of the news we have to share. And the first is prizes. If you've read my ramblings on the Fright Radio Facebook page, you'll know that we're giving away a free Fright Radio shirt this month. So the winner of the shirt is, drumroll please... Jason Berridge. Congratulations, Jason, on winning the Fright Radio shirt. We'll be in contact with you, and we will get it right out to you. If you would like to win a prize on one of our upcoming shows, please make sure that you go to frightradio.podomatic.com and click follow, or go to our Facebook page, Fright Radio, and follow us there. Everyone that's clicked to follow is always entered to win a prize. And let me tell you, we have some really cool prizes coming up in the next few months. Our final bit of news before we get to the segments is that this weekend is the National Haunters Convention, May 2nd through the 4th, and Fright Radio will be there on that Saturday. So if you're at the convention, you're walking around, and you see myself and some of my team wearing the Fright Radio shirt, please stop us, say hello. We love to talk to you guys and gals, and it should be a fun time at the convention. So National Haunters Convention, May 2nd through the 4th, we'll see you there. Now... on to our segments. The toy haunter, Corey of Columbia Manor, kicks off the show with his review of the new Kenner Retro Monster line. Chris and Jeff Davis of the Davis Graveyard provide us a full rundown of HauntCon, from the classes they teach, other seminars and offerings, and what to expect if you're attending the show in the future. Grim Ghost brings to our attention a new phenomenon, musicals for horror movies. He gives us a rundown of a few that we might like to see and shares a few clips from each. The Boneyard shares another chilling tale, The Door. Mr. Chicken expands on his previous segment with some tips and advice on sculpting with model magic. And we end the show with a post-Transworld roundtable discussion featuring our Radio Reaper, Rainier Pete of the Haunted Garden, Diablo Lopez of Haunters Hangout, and Steve Blumke, the Boneyard Creep. Now let's get this party started with a little Tarantula Ghoul with King Kong.
I'm going eight!
This is Jay Wall from Haunters Hangout, and you're listening to Fright Radio.
King Kong!
This is Don and Mary from Gothgloom Spook House, and you're listening to Fright Radio!
This is Allison from Dark Phobia, and you're listening to Fright Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Marshall and Tanya from Woodland Haunters.
And you're listening to Fright Radio.
Kids, it's me, your friend Grandpo. I gotta tell you, I am starting a new club, and I want you to join. It's called the Junior Vampires of America. I mean, you'll hear scary monster stories. Now, to call, you got to ask your parents' permission and call this phone number, 1-900-909-4300. You'll hear all about my monster friends, learn how to get a free vampire patch and a list of special vampire tricks and secrets. So call 1-900-909-4300. Learn how to scare your friends, even yourself. Join Grandpa's Junior Vampires of America Club, and I will make you a junior vampire.
Hey, kids, call 1-900-909-4300. That's 1-900-909-4300 to hear Grandpa's scary stories and join the Junior Vampires Club. Just $2 a first minute, 45 cents each additional. Ask Mom or Dad first.
The Toy Haunter.
What is up, horror fans? This is the Toy Haunter welcoming you back to Fright Radio. Now, I am bringing you some exciting news from the toy world. I am going to give you some information on a release for September of 2014 that has blown my mind and has got me super, super excited about this upcoming release. I received an email alert a few weeks back about this from entertainmentearth.com. That is one of my hotspots where I buy a lot of my figures, especially a lot of my horror action figures. I also got notice from Frank from Lurking in the Dark on a House. He told me about it the same day. He was like, dude, I just got this email. You got to check it out. So anyways, I'm going to give you guys some information on this, and you guys have to go check this out soon. Okay, so entertainmentearth.com has released information that they are bringing out a retro Kenner-style action figure. They are going to bring that back to us in September of 2014. These are about 3 3/4-inch retro action figures. They look identical to the original 12-backs from Star Wars that Kenner released. If you guys remember those, they had the nice flat card character or the action figure in the bottom left in the blister pack with the Kenner logo on the bottom right. Well, these are TV, mainly horror-released retro action figures that are being released. They are custom with their own graphics, each and every one, and they look fabulous. So quickly to go down the list of the figures that are going to be released. There are going to be 2 from the Alien line. There's going to be 4 from the Back to the Future line, which is one of my favorite of this line. There are 6 from the Buffy / Angel line that's going to be coming out. There is 1 from the Crow. There are 2 from Escape from New York. 5 from Firefly and Serenity. There are 5 Goonie figures that are going to be released. That is my absolute favorite one. One Friday the 13th, which is Jason, one Halloween one, which is Michael Myers, one Nightmare on Elm Street, which is Freddy, of course. We also have one of Scream, which is Ghostface. There are 6 Nightmare Before Christmas figures being released in this line, 4 Predator figures, 8 Pulp Fiction, 1 Rocketeer, 5 $6 Million Man ones, and I believe the $6 Million Man ones are actually already in stock. I've seen the $6 Million Man, and I've seen Bigfoot. I think those are going to be the 2 most popular ones that are out. And I think, like I said, I think those ones are already out. There will be 6 Terminator figures, and then what I think will probably be the most popular are the 8 Universal Monsters that are going to be released in this retro action figure line that's coming out. So that is the list of the figures coming out, and I got to tell you, they all look really good. I really like the Freddy one. He looks really cool. His graphics on his card look great. There's lots of red lettering, a dark black card that he's on. It's kind of the same as Friday the 13th. Looks really good. Frankenstein's figure might be the best card. A nice bright green Frankenstein lettering. with a nice black card with a haunted house kind of on the top of the card, with Frankenstein in the bottom right sitting in his electric chair. And then the Frankenstein monster looks cool. He's in his, you know, gray suit, black t-shirt kind of deal. I've already ordered a few. I've been ordering a few every couple weeks, just because, you know, there's really no rush unless they do say they run out. So far, none of them have. But I've ordered Trick or Treat Sam. That one, actually, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, so there's one Trick or Treat Sam action figure that is released. And I did order that one. He's on a black card as well. He looks really cool. He has his little lollipop. It's not in his hand. It can come in and out of his hand. So that's a pretty cool feature. Usually they just build it right into the plastic mold. But he looks really good. I've ordered him, and I've also ordered Michael Myers. He looks really good. He looks like he's right from the 80s. I mean, it looks really cool. It looks like it's, you know, it's supposed to be from that era. All the other lines look really good. Back to the Future looks really good as well. You got Marty McFly with his skateboard. So that is an extremely cool feature. And you got the DeLorean with lightning on the graphics of the card with a nice bright orange and yellow Back to the Future lettering, you know, from the movie. So the Back to the Future one is going to be the one I'm going to order next. I'm going to order the whole line of that because I do love the Back to the Future line. Halloween looks good as well. Black card, red outline, says horror series, and then the typical, you know, white Halloween lettering with the orange outline. Michael Myers will come with his kitchen knife that is also interchangeable in and out of his hand. And then you got pretty cool ones. You know, you got all the Pulp Fiction guys that, you know, looks pretty cool. I don't really care for that movie at all, so I won't be ordering them, but some people might. And then I'm just going down the line right now. The Nightmare Before Christmas stuff looks excellent. It looks really good. You know, I mean, you can't really go retro 80s with something that's not from the 80s. So, you know, it looks more modern than retro like the other figures do, like Freddy and Jason and Michael and the Back to the Future guys. And then the Goonies looks really good. The Goonies looks like it literally came from the 1980 movies. So they got the actual screenshots of all the characters on the card with the figures. They just look really good. So I'm really excited to order that Goonie line too. I'm going to order all the Goonies, and I'm going to order all the Back to the Future. They just look super cool, super cool. Another nice card, I don't really care for the movie, is the Rocketeer one. It's a nice silver backing. It looks really good. I mean, it's kind of hard to explain. You guys just got to go to entertainmentearth.com, and then on the on the middle bar, click on Coming Soon. And then on the left side, you'll see Retro. Hold on, I'm going to scroll back up to this right now. And it says, where is it at? Retro Kenner style action figures. So make sure you guys go check it out. That's entertainmentearth.com. Go check these things out. You can pre-order them now. You won't get them till September, but they are very cool to have. They're very cool to have in your collection. It's one of the most exciting lines that I've seen in a couple years now, you know, in seeing new release things come out. I like the retro stuff. I love 80s toys. I love 70s toys. I love 90s toys, as you guys have seen from the Toy Hunter series on my YouTube channel. So this is a cool line. I can't wait to get these and show these off on my YouTube channel as well as here on Fright Radio and talk about them when they do come in September. So I think that's it for now, guys. So I've been releasing new episodes of the Toy Haunter every Tuesday on my Columbia Manor Haunted House YouTube channel. So if you guys want to go check it out, make sure you go there, subscribe. I'm going to start doing some giveaways probably each week. I haven't figured out how I want to hold the contest, but I'm working on that. But check it out, Toy Haunter series every Tuesday now on my YouTube channel. So go and subscribe, Columbia Manor Haunted House. And that is all for now, guys, so I will see you guys later.
The Davis Graveyard.
Hi, this is Jeff Davis.
I'm Chris Davis.
We're with the Davis Graveyard. We're here to talk about HauntCon in 2014 that just happened in January.
Was in Houston this year.
Back yeah. In Texas. Normally, HauntCon is always been held end of April, first of May. Mm-hmm. And for the first time this year, they joined forces with the Halloween Expo, which always is the last weekend in January. So when we had to work with HauntCon this year, we had to prepare in November, December instead of usually
right now,
March and April, which is when we're used to working on things. So that was kind of new for us.
Yeah, we usually take some time off in November and December, and it didn't happen this year.
The last year HotCon was in Dallas, so this year it was in Houston, so it was in the same state, just in a different area. And it was in the end of January, and Houston's usually a warm place most of the year.
For when we fly there, I guess.
And this year it was a little cold for Houston. We had some problems getting in and out of town. It was a little chilly. Some
plane
icing.
Flights delayed and canceled. It was fun.
But it was a good show. We had a good time. Mm-hmm. It runs Saturday through Monday.
Right.
The Hong Kong normally went Friday through Sunday. But the Halloween Expo starts on Saturday into Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So we prepared on Friday, got everything set up, and then did the show Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and then they had some extra stuff that happened on Tuesday.
Right. One of our biggest, we do a lot of help with Hong Kong in a lot of ways, but when the show's actually up and running, our thing that we handle the most, or our big responsibility, is working with all the workshops. What happened, those are the paid workshops that happen on the show floor during the convention. So we spend a bunch of, we usually get there a day early because we have a lot of stuff shipped or brought to the hotel for all the classes, but we also have to do a lot of driving around and picking stuff up for people for all their classes because most anybody that's teaching is coming from out of town. So a couple people bring their own stuff, but most of them have no resources to get their material. As easy as that sounds, it's quite a lot of work to do, especially when you do it in a new city every year. So it's not like, oh, I can go back to Home Depot. It's like, no, where is the Home Depot in this town this time?
And different cities and different states have different supplies at their Home Depots. Mm-hmm. What you're used to getting at Home Depot at home isn't always what they have at the Home Depot of the city you're in. So we have to check to make sure they've got all the supplies. And to kind of backtrack a little bit, for the last 4 or 5 years, our role with HauntCon has been we're the workshop coordinators. So there's somebody else who usually handles the education and people that handle registration and vendors and a lot of the other things that go on at HauntCon. And our role is more of the hands-on workshops that have paid fees tied to them. So people, and they're limited, usually, 10 to 20 people in the class, and they're making something. Traditionally, in the old days, they used to call it a make and take, but we kind of raised the bar, and these are a little bit more advanced projects. And the people that teach these have supplies they need. And this particular year, our guests were previous year's face-off contestants. So Roy Woolley and
RJ,
RJ and Lainey and Eric were all there teaching classes and doing demos. And they needed supplies that we either pre-ordered and had shipped there or we had to pick up while we were there. And then there's people that teach classes at the same time, just volunteers that come in and teach a workshop on how to make something or do something. And so we would buy all the materials that they needed for that. So that was kind of our thing. Set those all up, stage them, bring them out before their class, make sure they have everything they need, even stuff like electrical outlets and drop cloths and
lots
water.
Lots of tarping. And
tarps, and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of what we do.
Yeah, building props in a hotel, by the way, is not a lot of fun. Just want
to
let you know.
Yeah, I keep telling people, we're so used to just having our shop and being able to go in and grab any tool we need, any mm-hmm. supply we want, and go over and get another bucket of paint or paintbrush or whatever. And if you don't have everything when you're at a convention or hotel, you're kind of screwed, So we...
A lot of improvising.
We say it's a very difficult challenge to make props in a show floor setting as opposed to doing it in your own workshop.
So I give everybody that teaches the classes a lot of credit.
It's definitely a learned skill, and it's also a more difficult way to teach something.
But it's good to share. We like sharing. Everybody has a good time.
Yeah.
Classes are always well attended.
Well attended. Sold out this year. Everybody.
Every class was sold out.
Every class was sold out, and they were sold out early before the show even started. They were all prepaid. That was a lot of fun. It was a really, really good show. It was well attended. The Halloween Expo part of it was huge. The convention hall that it had to be held in instead of being at a hotel was very large and had all kinds of rooms.
So, I got a lot of my walking in during that convention because walking to any place, any part of that convention center was just gigantic.
Yes, the education was so much further away from the show floor, and so we had to do a lot of walking back and forth. Helping out, and that was a challenge, but it was was a good show. It turned out really well. It was a good relationship with Halloween Expo, I think.
Yeah.
We teach classes as well as doing the workshops. So we usually coordinate the workshops, but when we're not doing those, we usually try to plug in several classes that we can teach that we aren't having to make things. This year we taught four, right?
Right. I mean, yeah. We also, to do this, we also bring our crew, too. We didn't mention that. We usually bring about three or four people. So sometimes if we can't be, you know, because we can't be in every place at all at one time, so sometimes if we're teaching a class, some of our crew is down in the making or the workshop area making sure everybody's taken care of. So it does take quite a bit of an effort to put all of this together.
Yeah, we definitely are unique in as volunteers. A lot of the volunteers, there's just a single person that comes to help HauntCon, you know, and they have their responsibility. But when you get Jeff and Chris, you get our crew, and it's not just Jeff and Chris, it's Davis Graveyard. Mm-hmm. And so there's at least three or four other people involved with us. So we're helping out in other ways. They're helping, you know, facilitate, like, celebrity help. You know, the face-off people need help. We've got somebody that's their handler and working with them, and we've got extra people that can handle like AV issues if that's something that's
filming.
Filming if that's going on, you know, just kind of running around doing last minute stuff. So we've got a lot of extra hands than just us. This is the way we work. We're used to just working in a team environment. So that's when we volunteer, we volunteer us and everybody else that can come along with us. Mm-hmm. And those people help us with those classes that we teach too.
Right.
We taught, in fact, one of the classes that we taught was a creative team, how to build a creative team, how to work with a creative team. We had part of our team there. We answered some questions. It was a well-attended class. It was a pretty good little workshop.
Yeah, it was specifically about how to work with a group. With us, we have a lot of people. We have, like, you know, levels of volunteers or levels of helpers. And there's a core group of us that create a big part of what happens and also have a voice in how things are made and what gets made. And having those people, group of seven or eight people, work together and work together well, because we work pretty close for a long time, is quite a skill that it does take a little bit of work on everybody's part. A lot of understanding, a lot of maturity, I guess, at some point, you know, for everybody to be, say, I'm going to get along. And so we kind of talked about how to keep the right people. You know, sometimes a team member, I know somebody was mentioning something about having a problem with somebody. Sometimes not everything works out, and you just have to.
Yeah, a lot of lessons learned.
Yeah,
and we taught a video effects, how we do our video effects. It was just kind of a detailed class about how we do it, and kind of explained a lot of our video effects. We did our foam texturing class that we've done for several years.
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of what we're known for is texturing foam, doing a lot of stone masonry work and brickwork and that type of stuff. So we always show people how to do that, and then we did a workshop on details, talking about the fine details that we do in our display. It's kind of what we're known for, the over-the-top stuff that we do to kind of go that extra effort to make it look even more realistic, and why we do it, and what are the things that we do that make it a little extra special and a little more unique experience, and why those things are important to us. So those were all really good.
Yeah, a lot of Q&A. A lot of our seminars always turn into a Davis Graveyard Q&A session.
Yeah, we do get all kinds of different questions when those things start. But almost every one of them, I either talked to a bunch of people afterwards or later in the show, they would say they really enjoyed it. And they're all well attended. So we do those in between helping out with the workshops.
Oh, yeah, and the other helping out we do is, it's not even on our normal list, is we do help with the costume ball, too. So that's always a fun run around it.
Tabletop decorations. This year we did some cobwebbing on all the tabletops. We brought a webbing machine in that we use in our display, and we webbed all the tables. And we usually make the centerpieces or help make them or assemble them, kind of set that up before the costume ball. Again, because we're kind of I wouldn't call us the crafty people, but we're the kind of hands-on making stuff people. So they keep referring to us for that kind of thing.
Right.
That's why we do it. Trade show floor was really popular.
Mm-hmm.
Distortions was there.
That was great.
Froggy's Fog had a booth at HauntCon's trade show floor as well as the Halloween Expo floor. So they were in both places. And
we got to harass our friends a lot.
Yeah, our friends at Froggy's Fog were fun. Brutal Rust was there. They had a big booth.
AEO Studios.
AEO Studios. There
great
were quite
guys.
A few good vendor booths at the HauntCon show floor. A little bit more personal and smaller. easy to walk around and see everything. It wasn't as expansive and huge as Halloween Expo Show 4 was, but
yeah, the
it was
party
still a really
show
good show.
4 was fun to visit, though. It's kind of interesting to see where your stuff that you see at the stores gets bought from.
Yeah.
You know, all the costumes and
a lot
all
of stuff
the
made in China.
Decorations. And yeah, I can tell you what some of the blow-ups are going to look like this year.
But that was interesting. And some of the vendors were fun to talk to. We sat and mm-hmm. met some people and got some business cards. So that we had a few moments where we were able to walk through that and check it all out. But that was kind of Hong Kong for 2014, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, very different. Very fun. Loved it. I think the attendance was up higher than it normally is. The haunt tours were fun. Had a great time. Those are always a great way to end the day. And
costume ball was a lot of fun. It's always really, really good.
Big costume ball. I love it. Having a lot of the makeup people there from the party expo, there was quite a bit of costumes. It was really
the host great. Hotel was not too far away, and it was where the hospitality suite was, and that was always a nice place to sit back and meet with people.
Meet your friends, yeah. Kind of as we always call it as a family reunion for us, that yeah. you know, get to see our friends we don't get to see once a year.
Yeah. So. It was a good show. We're looking forward to 2015, and mm-hmm. later this year you guys will probably be able to find out more about where it's going to be and what's going on there. We don't know the details yet either, so when we know, we'll pass on the information.
I hope all of you that are lucky enough to go to Transworld have a great time. We're jealous.
Yeah.
And make sure you put lots of pictures and stuff on YouTube for us. We appreciate that.
We're working on West Coast Haunters Convention, which is May 16th, 17th, and 18th, and that's where we'll be next. Anybody wants to join us, we'll see you then. Otherwise, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Grim Ghost here. Welcome to another segment of Music Jersey Devil Style. This time I want to bring attention to Haunters, the new phenomenon of musicals for horror movies. I first became aware of it with 2003's Evil Dead the Musical. This off-Broadway show became a cult hit with its humor and spotter zone seating, i.e. you get drenched in fake blood. It combines elements from Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. I was able to see a production of it in Delaware a few years ago and laughed my head off. Its cult following has grown to even rival that of Rocky Horror Picture Show. The soundtrack is still available from Amazon and is not to be missed. In fall 2013, I attended another production of the musical in Philadelphia area. With a bigger budget and effects, this version was even better than the last one I saw. Their website is http://EvilDeadTheMusical.com. That's all one word, Evil Dead the Musical. Currently, they just finished a run in Toronto and have no new shows yet planned, but that will change soon, so keep checking their website. I encourage you to see this musical if it comes around, though it is R-rated for language. I'll place links on my blog page to YouTube and Facebook so you can see more clips from the musical. From there, here's a medley of snippets from the songs in the musical.
Vacation is just plain, plain. There's something in this musty air makes us want to sing. Cabin in the woods, ooh. Cabin in the woods, yeah. We're five college students on our way to an old abandoned cabin in the woods. Oh, yeah!
Little did I know that day when I dropped off my resume at the local S-Mart store that another employee I'd fall for.
My job was in the checkout aisle, S-Mart service with a smile. I hated work, it was a bore, but all that changed when you walked through the door.
I was assigned to aisle 3.
And that is where you fell for me.
to be
perfect retail harmony.
I have to ask a question to the gods above. How were we deemed worthy of this perfect love? I'll ask the trees, I'll ask the sky, I'll ask the whole wide world. How did a housewares employee land the perfect girl?
Keep getting killed by Candarian demons.
First there was Ed, a really nice guy. Didn't talk too much, but I didn't mind. I was all set to marry him. But before we could consummate, Ed was killed by a Candarian demon.
Candarian demon, Candarian demon, Candarian. The hell do demons do their very own special dance?
In hell we dance our own special way. Let's show them how we dance while our bodies decay.
Do we bounce like Backstreet?
Not without a heartbeat.
Do we grab like Michael Bibbs?
Bill Bibbs DeVoe before the living.
Do we whoop like Tag Team?
Not without a bloodstream.
Let's rock the arena like that group did.
No, that's just stupid.
Deadites always like to get their freak on.
The moves right to the letter. It's just like the time warp.
What?
Only better.
First we jump, then we sink down, then we get back up and lasso all around. Then we spin, clap our hands, and take a brief moment to acknowledge the band. To the robot and the sprinkler.
Next up is Reanimator the Musical. This production started in 2011, and it too is now a cult hit. Following the pattern of Evil Dead the Musical, it takes H.P. Lovecraft's horror tale and turns it into a comedy musical number. Apparently even have a better splatter zone, I hear. I've not seen this musical yet, but I've seen a lot of good news and press about it. Their website is http://www.reanimatorthemusical.com. That's all one word, Reanimator the Musical. Currently, no new productions are listed. YouTube and Facebook links will be on my blog page, so you can look at snippets and videos from this play. At this point, they do not offer a soundtrack, but rumors are they're working on it. Here's a snippet from the trailer that they made for the musical.
Bringing fire to man. I give life because I can.
Once you have finished, my good friends, behold the human brain. Here, take this in your hands. Feel the wind.
What becomes of the human brain when vital functions cease? No more blood, no more oxygen. It's time to rest in peace.
Time to rest in peace.
Parade of death follows like a loyal pet. Is this on a schedule? You bet. 6 to 12 minutes, time really flies when the brain degenerates and dies. Like a watch whose battery is old. 12 minutes pass, and then after 12,
then after 12,
then after 12,
then after 12,
the watch stops cold.
You'll give life, life like a flower, life like an earthquake.
Last one I found is the Texas Chainsaw Musical. Similar to the other two musicals, this takes the story of infamous Texas Chainsaw Massacre killer Ed Gaines and turns it into a rousing musical comedy. It came out in 2012. Their website is http://texaschainsawmusical.com. It's all one word, Texas Chainsaw Musical. Just like the last two, currently there are new productions going on. At this point, they didn't offer a soundtrack either. But the website also offers 5 full songs available for download. Again, YouTube and Facebook links will be on the blog page. Here's a snippet from the song that's part of the musical trailer.
You don't have to do this.
Really? Are you kidding? Wow!
How did I get so cruel? I was a dumpster baby, now I'm a muscle-faced fool. Look at that guy over there.
What's there?
I chopped off his pudgy tip finger.
Wiener.
Finger.
Wiener.
His finger. Wiener.
Jager, wiener.
Look at this fine lady right here.
She's so fine.
I sawed off her arm and I don't even care. What kind of life am I living? There's so much more than being a psycho and killing. I could be like Jeremy Piven.
But first I should probably stop slapping people around with my big dirty saw and making mash from their heinies.
A Texas Chainsaw Musical. Isn't that better than a massacre? A Texas Chainsaw Musical. I'm turning my life around. Yeah, I'm gonna turn my life around. Yeah!
Is the choke on?
Yeah, I took it to my guy last week, said it was fixed.
Yeah. Vroom, 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 chop, 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 everyone goes hop, hop, hop. Spank, 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 slap, 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 everyone goes hey. Chainsaw Musical. Anything's better than a massacre. Oh. A Texas Chainsaw Musical. With music written by Andrew Lloyd Webber. I'm gonna turn my
horrible, evil, chainsaw wielding, psycho mask making, sheriff eating that nice person all around, Dr. Phil needing life around. 1, 2, 3, life!
Texas Chainsaw Musical. Everyone's passing on the massacre. Texas Chainsaw Musical.
So if you're looking for something offbeat and different, but horror-related, these little slices of off-Broadway may be right up your horror alleyway. This has been Grim Ghost, in Dark Service to the Nightmare Dennis Halloween, signing off.
The Boneyard. Tales from the Creep. Good evening, Frighteners. Tonight on Fright Radio, I've penned up a little tale, a tale of two brothers. It's a tale that holds a little bit of truth in my life, and it's dedicated to my little Georgie. It's called The Door. At a very young age, my younger brother and I were living with my mother in the very house her father had spent his life growing up in. We spent lots of time there in the summers and during the holidays, and after our Nana passed, it was left to our family. My father, quite the handyman, had decided to take on the task of getting some of the disrepair under control before we moved in. Grabbing his tools and getting into his car to begin work on the old girl, as he liked to call it, would be the last I would ever see of him. I was told that he had fallen on some stairs and that he didn't make it. My father, now gone, sprang me into the man of the house status, a status that I was nowhere near ready to accept. It was quite an immense house, seeming twice the size though when I was six. My brother George, 2 years my junior, and I had always been told by our father and our Nana that we were never allowed to open a certain door in the house. Making it all the more alluring was the fact that it was the only door painted red throughout the whole manor. It was always locked, and every time we would stop to turn the knob or try to look under it, Nana was right there to shoo us off. So for the first years of our lives, we'd always run by the door and knock on it. Continuing the run down the hall, we swore that we would hear something knocking back at us. We were kids, boys, with an imagination as big as Nana's house. It was just magic then, just fun. Things were different now. My mother, scraping everything together that we had, got us moved in. Because we didn't have enough to fill even a quarter of the house, unpacking went fast, and we claimed our rooms. My brother and I chose rooms right next to each other, but far enough from our mother's room to get away with nighttime shenanigans. We had been living in the old girl for a couple of nights before I started hearing things in the night. Not those things one might normally associate with old house sounds or even haunted house sounds. Noises that you might hear during the day. Birds singing ever so lightly. A couple of notes of music from an old jewelry box. But most of all, the sound of someone trying to open a locked door by wiggling a doorknob. So loud that it woke both of us up. The first time it happened, Georgie walked ever so calmly into my room. Terry the rabbit and blanket in hand, rubbing his eyes, asking, "Did you hear that?" Even though I had, for some reason, I told him no and told him to go back to bed. He made a pit stop at the bathroom, and soon we were both fast asleep. The next morning, it was my 9th birthday, Mom in the kitchen making my favorite breakfast, French toast and bacon, the smell of both filling the house. As I sat down, Georgie made eye contact with me and started to open his mouth, but didn't. The shaking of my head with a quick eye glance towards Mom was enough to get the message across. Holding on to our secret throughout the whole day, my birthday was over and it was time for bed once again. That night, it was an unusually chilly evening, which made falling asleep so much easier. Sleeping didn't last long as the noises started, the door handle being the loudest. I heard Georgie trip over some blocks as he was coming out of his room, his blanket dragging a couple out into the hall. I waited for my door to swing open, but it didn't. Georgie had walked right past and continued down the stairs to the main floor. By the time I got up and through the door, Georgie was already down the stairs, and all I caught in the glow of the night was the tail end of his blanket disappearing around a corner. I picked up my pace to catch up, but I was still just as reluctant as I was scared. Just as I got to the bottom of the stairs, the noises all stopped at once. I knew I had to find my brother now, feeling that I knew just where to find him. Walking through the foyer, every shadow seemed to be pointing the way, and it wasn't long before I came across my little brother. Standing in front of the door, staring, his eyes wide as half dollars. As I approached, the doorknob started to turn, not violently, but just as if someone was turning it ever so slowly. Just as the knob started to turn, it stopped. Georgie seemed in a heavy daze, and then his arm began to move back and forth in an ever so slight jerking movement. As I got closer, I could see the tip of the blanket had been pulled under the door, and something was tugging on it from the other side. With one last good pull, the blanket disappeared under the door, and I heard someone whisper, "Well, that's going to wrap things up for me this month, kiddies. The story was written and arranged again by myself, and I have a lot of fun doing it. Really stoked to see everybody at Transworld this year. I'll be looking for you. Be looking for me. Again, thanks for listening to Fright Radio. See you next month. Keep killing it.
I'm Mr. Chicken, and you're entering my Hall of Illusions. This time we're going to talk about how to get the best results out of one of the cheapest and easiest to find sculpting mediums out there, Crayola Model Magic. As I mentioned in the last episode, the big advantage of air-dry clays is that your sculpture is your final product. You don't need to do any molding and casting to get a usable prop. I used Model Magic for the heads of most of the characters in my haunt. Here's what I found worked best for me. I'd pick something to use as an armature. A skull or a modified foam wig head work well. To modify the wig head for use as an armature, I'd cut off the nose, lips, and carve down the sides of the head a bit so that you're not forced to use the proportions of those things. Then wrap the armature in aluminum foil before sculpting. More on that later. To sculpt the face, what you want to do is tear off pieces of clay, form them into approximately the right shape for the facial feature you're working on, and apply it to the form. You want to work in this way, rather than trying to mush around large pieces, because the Model Magic has a strange elastic quality that makes it difficult to reshape. So try to get your forms as close as you can when you first lay them down. A blob for the nose, blobs for the cheeks and chin, you get the idea. Water will help smooth and blend between these blobs, as will thin pieces of clay from time to time. Plastic balls cut in half make good eyes too. When you're ready for details like wrinkles, take your sculpting tool and wet it first so it will glide over the clay and not stick to it. Unlike more professional clays, the Model Magic doesn't like to be refined gradually. It's more about picking a shape and sticking with it. This means you'll often end up with a face that doesn't quite match your original plan, but that's part of the fun too. If you need to walk away from your sculpture for a day, just spritz it with a little water and put a plastic bag over it. In my experience, air-dry clays will crack if one side dries out faster than the other, which is kind of a pain when you're working on a face. The Crayola air-dry clays, Model Magic, and pretty much any other air-dry clay out there, as far as I know, are water-based. The water needs to evaporate from the clay in order for it to harden. Now, as the water evaporates, the clay is losing mass and shrinking. However, if something, such as the armature you're sculpting on, be it a skull, foam head, or just a wad of newspaper, if that inside is preventing the water from escaping evenly, one side, the face, will dry out faster than the inside. This means that the outside is shrinking faster than the inside, and so it cracks. When I make heads in air-dry clay, I cover my armature in aluminum foil so that as soon as the face is dry to the touch, I can remove it from the armature by slicing the sculpture from ear to ear with an X-Acto blade and pulling the two halves apart, then peel the foil out from the inside and allow the sculpture to dry thoroughly. You can hot glue the two halves back together. Shortly thereafter, I'll give the whole thing a coat of latex-based paint, just in case to hold the surface together should there be any cracking tempted to ensue. You need a base coat anyway because you're going to paint it, right? I like to paint the rest in washes and dry brushing with cheap acrylic paints. To attach that head to a body, I'll just shoot a bit of great stuff into the head, just enough to grab the PVC that makes up the neck. And that's what's worked for me in the past. Be sure to check out the pictures on the Fright Radio blog, and if you have any questions, suggestions, or tips of your own to share, let me know at chickenhaunt@gmail.com. And by the way, if you're looking for any cool projection effects for your haunt this year, be sure to check out my offerings at chickenhaunt.blogspot.com.
Haunting interviews.
So I want to thank you guys for being a part of the show tonight. This is a little post wrap up of Trans World, and with me tonight we have the lovely and creative Rania Pete of the Haunted Garden. Rania, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you? I thought you were going to say the lovely and amazing Diablo 85. But...
Well, that was
oh.
next.
Get into that. And then well, look, give him a second.
Well, she introduced.
But he's so lovely.
We got Haunters Hangout here tonight on Fright Radio. Diablo, what's going on?
Oh, doing good.
And then our very own Boneyard Creep, Steve Blumke. What's going on, my man?
Hey, Jason, I'm here, buddy. Let's do this.
Let's do it. So
let's do it.
I mean, the main thing I wanted to do is get you guys together. You know, you all have your outlets in the haunt community, and I know it was each of yours first time at Trans World. So that's kind of what this show is about, is just what was that first time feeling for you guys, you know, stepping into probably, arguably, the best trade show convention for haunters, for the haunt industry out there. So I just wanted to get your opinions. I mean, I'm going to throw it out to, I'll start with Diablo tonight. Just, Jose, when you walked in there the first time, I mean, just give me that initial reaction to the show.
Well, the first reaction was like 1,000 butterflies, and then I took like 2 steps into Trans World, and a big ass damn monster came up to me and was like, "Hey," and I was like, "Huh?" And I looked around, seen everything, and I had to stop. And you know, thank God nobody was vlogging at the time, because like a tear just like rolled down my eyes, and I felt like I just got off a plane and was like, land, you know what I'm saying? That's exactly where I was at that point, you know, like, oh my God, I'm in heaven. It's like, you know, and I was like, you know, where's the damn tissue? Because that's exactly where I was at that point. And thank God, with all the people that I'm around that are always vlogging, there was nobody there, because I can hold my head up now and say I didn't do that until now.
Oh, man. It was very emotional.
It was for me. I was like, you know, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, you know, like I had a hot flash. So I was it's like, damn. Could have been the drinking, but I think it was a hot flash.
I think it was the moonshine, man.
Yeah, it could have been. But you know, that's how I felt the initial walk in and just the awe of it. And I mean, and when people sit there and say that the trade show is just for like pro people, and they don't want to talk to you if you're a homeowner, that is so nuts, because everyone that there that I talked to, they like totally like, I mean, they even opened up some props, like, oh, here's how it works, and I talked to everybody. So, you know, that big fear that I had and everybody else had when you first walked in, you know, when you first decided a home hard, first decided to go to trans world, everybody's like, how do I get in? How do I get in, you know, if I'm not pro, and, you know, the vendors are ignoring you and they don't want to talk to you. That is so not true. I mean, I talked to everybody. They all talked to me. They even went as far as to, like, opening up the props to see how it works. So, I mean, I don't know where that came from, but that's a lie.
Well, I think we're, like, the up-and-comers, too, though. So, you know, it's kind of important to talk to us.
Yeah.
At least some of us.
I would think, and I've heard that before. I mean, most, we're kind of like the, you know, the minor leagues of future pros, possibly. I mean, that's what most hunters move up to, right?
I mean that's, you got to learn somewhere. You got to go to the trans world and learn and network.
I kind of tricked them too, so that they fell into my little web there.
Well, haunters, that wraps up part one of the Fright Radio post trans world wrap up show. For the continuation of this interview, please make sure you download part two of episode 5 on frightradio.podomatic.com or on iTunes. Now, before we wrap up the show, I want to give a quick nod to a fellow haunter, Brad Goodspeed. Most of us in the haunt community know Brad from his haunt, The Butcher of Provincetown. Brad's recently created a short film called Penny for NASA, which you can view on his Facebook page. If you're a fellow science nut and you love space, then you're going to love this film. So let's show Brad some support. And please take a moment to check out A Penny for NASA. Until next time, my fiends.
So if you see my girl, please send her home.